Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello, and welcome to the High Energy Health Podcast. My name is Ananda Wonderland, and I'm guest hosting for Dr. Dawson Church this week. And I am so excited to welcome you, dear listener, to our show this week because I am speaking with the amazing Sydney Williams. And if you can't tell by the enthusiasm in my voice, I am just giddy to have her here. I just finished her book. I absolutely devoured it, and I'm so inspired by what she's doing in the world. So, welcome, Sydney. How are you doing today?
Thank you very much. I'm doing well. It's nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Good. Absolutely. So if you guys don't know who Sydney is, let me just give you a little intro. She is the founder of Hiking My Feelings, which is a nonprofit organization dedicated to the healing power of nature, speaking my language. Her 15-year and counting career in communications has run the gamut from launching Oscar Mayer's social media channels and working with Fortune 500 brands to educating the public about the importance of stewardship and equitable access to recreational opportunities. Through it all, she centers empathetic storytelling and allows her curiosity and enthusiasm to lead the way. Listen to these accolades. Sydney has been featured in HuffPost, Psychology Today, U.S. News and World Report, and on the South by Southwest stage, my hometown of Austin, Texas. So exciting. She's also a certified wilderness first responder, an instructor at the Desert Institute at Joshua Tree National Park, an instructor at the Field Institute at Sequoia National Park, so beautiful, and a founding member of the Outdoorist Oath. Sydney has been nominated for Woman of the Year by San Diego Magazine and absolutely deserves every bit of this. So happy to have you. So, the book. I definitely want to talk about the nonprofit and everything else that you're doing, but the book, Hiking Your Feelings, Blazing a Trail to Self-Love, what inspired you to write this book and to share your message with the world?
Oh, man. Great question. The short version of the long story is hiking saved my life. I was like the average American who's following their pursuit of whatever the American dream looks like for them. In my case, the path that was laid out for me was the college to career pipeline. So I jumped right on the corporate ladder and started racing up it as fast as I could, without boundaries, without healthy coping mechanisms, without anything. And when I entered into my career, I knew what I had endured and what I had been through, but I had suppressed it so much and used working as a way to cope, in addition to eating and drinking all the things ever. And I was just like, I need to get out. And at the time of my first backpacking trip, which the book follows the story of two hikes I did across Catalina Island, the first in 2016 and the second a year and a half later in 2018, and my initial thought was, okay, I'm working in one of the world's largest leading PR firms. The agency was closed between Christmas and New Year's, so for anybody in client services or anybody that gets paid time off as a benefit of their employment, you know, sometimes you're not really on vacation. You're checking emails, checking in with the team, people are bugging you for stuff, maybe they need a password that isn't documented somewhere, whatever it is. But with the agency being closed, all of our clients knew we weren't in business that week. So I was like, let's get outside. My husband grew up in New Hampshire, and he recommended we go backpacking. And I had never done that before. I had done some day hikes here and there. But I jumped in full force, as I do with everything that ever interests me ever. I just go all the way in, straight, like, setting what my friend, this is going to be a little bit squirrely for a second, but my friend calls my attitude going into this first trip with no experience whatsoever, only enthusiasm and curiosity, as delusional confidence. And I love that phrase because delusional confidence has served me well. Whenever I found myself in any kind of situation that needed an action taken that I didn't really even know what the action was, I was just like, yeah, I think this is how this goes. Let's do it. So I took that approach for backpacking, which was awesome because I'm still here on this planet and backpacking and hiking and spending time outdoors, and the relationship I've cultivated with nature is the reason why I'm still here to even have this interview. But at the time, I was just like, all right, here we go. Wearing your hiking boots, not the same as breaking them in when you're wearing them at your standing desk, right? So, like, I'm very newbie lessons right away. But the impetus behind the book was I did that first backpacking trip, and I was probably 60 or 80 pounds heavier than I am today. I was not trained at all. I had just come off 2 years that were really difficult, and I loved it. And it reminded me of when I was on the rowing team at the University of Kansas. Like, I didn't have the language for it back then, but we would exhaust ourselves with water workouts and strength and conditioning and two-a-day practices. But at the end of those days in college, I felt great. Like, I was exhausted, yes, but my mind was clear. I felt good in my body. It was the strongest I had ever been. And it was just like, it was amazing. So the impetus to write the book was just how transformative these experiences were for me and how spending time outside, disconnected from this hyper-connected world we live in. No notifications, no podcasts. I mean, everybody should listen to this one and then go for a hike. But, like, I wasn't listening to podcasts. I wasn't listening to audiobooks. I was just, like, me and the sounds of nature around me, the trail underneath my feet. And that brought up a lot for me that I had the tools to use to process, but it wasn't until I started hiking that I was able to escape, like, this full body response to some of the stuff that I was trying to heal from and the subsequent shutdown that would happen because I didn't have anywhere to put that energy. So if I got activated by something that I was trying to heal, I mean, I read every Brené Brown book you could possibly find. I did all the journaling, all the meditation. I would do it all, but I'd get to this point where I'm like, oh, I'm activated. I'm triggered. I am disassociating. And then I would just stop. Whatever I was trying to heal, I was like, no, I don't want to relive this. But on the trail was where I was like, oh, this is happening. Okay, wow, I'm alone with my thoughts. Terrifying. This is the worst. Did not plan on this being part of the adventure. I thought it was going to be all sunshine and rainbows and hiking on an island. And here I am feeling my feelings and feeling really disoriented in my body that is clearly not capable of completing this trip. But ultimately, it was one of the best things. It is the best thing that ever happened to me. Like, stumbling into backpacking as a recommendation from my husband has transformed my life, my relationship to self, and the way I move through the world. So that, I thought it was going to be a short answer. It was not.
You're welcome. I like thorough. It was very thorough. Thank you for that. It was beautiful. And I love that because I'm a practitioner of a somatic therapy, and so I love that you quoted Bessel van der Kolk on your beautiful website, which is hikingmyfeelings.org. You guys, it's such a gorgeous website. But it's important to get into the body when we're doing this deep work of traumatic release and really deciding who we want to be, deciding which stories are ours, which stories we want to keep, sifting through everything that we think made us who we are and actually getting down to our authentic self. So I love that you spoke about when I went into fight, flight, freeze, fawn, and had nothing to do with that energy, that's what propelled me to get up that mountain. And that also allowed me to release these energetic blockages from my body. So I love that you speak about hiking. I love that you speak about journaling, both of which I consider to be somatic practices, getting into your body as you start to do this deep work and allows you to move that energy through. And I also love that you talk about feeling what it feels like to feel good in your body, too. You say to get more in tune with the joy and elation so you can more easily recognize it later. So it's wonderful. And guys, she has these really practical tools in the book, and one of the first three sets of questions that you ask is exactly what I do in my practice. What are you feeling right now? Where do you feel it in your body? And what does this remind you of? So where were you inspired to come up with those three questions? How did that enter your work as you were healing all of this?
I was just out. And over the course of my life, and I think throughout different cultures, we would call it different things. If I was a Christian, I'd be like, God spoke to me. If I were Buddhist, I'd be like, you know, whoever. but to me, I was just able to I think the best way to describe it is it felt like a remembering. Like, I don't, I have a hard time taking credit for the brilliant things that come out of my mouth sometimes because they feel like such a duh by the time they come out of my mouth. But also, it just feels like this, like, warmth washes over me, and I'm just like, oh, I knew this. Like, this isn't new news. And for me, it was really just getting that curious. And I think in the context of, like, where my brain was at, where my brain, just how my brain works, there's the soundtrack in my head is now more positive, but it doesn't stop. Like, it's just a continuously running loop of, like, thoughts and ideas and things I'm inspired by. And at the time, I was just like, I need to, like, really slow things down. So instead of, like, just giving in to whatever the physical sensation was, which is how I had been coping, I was just reacting to whatever was happening in my body. And I had no awareness of why these things were happening or what I was activating when I was going through these exercises. And I was just like, oh, okay, just slow it down. Okay, what am I feeling? Like, let's call it something. And if I don't know what it is, like, let's dig on that. So, okay, it's not like a progression of questions. It's like sometimes I can only answer one, right? Like, I can say, I know what I'm feeling, but the feeling in my body is chaotic and I can't really narrow it, zoom in on it. Or I'm like, oh, my God, my chest. What's the elephant doing here back again? Oh, I'm feeling anxious. Okay, cool. Or sometimes I'm like, I was just thinking about this thing, and now here goes my body, and here goes my brain. But I know what the impetus was, what the root of that response was. So it was really just a mechanism to help me slow down and start to process. And those are the questions that came naturally. I was like, I've been so disconnected from myself. I've been so disconnected from my emotions because I've been suppressing so many stories that I don't even know who I am, what I feel, or what it feels like when I feel it. So let's get to that. And let's find out what these stories are and what are these, like, breadcrumbs I'm leaving myself so I can understand these are the areas that need healing. And that's the direction I give in the book is, like, if nothing else, like, this book is loaded with shared stories. Like, I'm not the first person to find healing in nature. I'm not the first person to survive sexual assault. I'm not the first person to get diagnosed with a chronic illness. But you have too, I have too. So, like, let's talk about that. Let's get into that and let's figure out where this is coming from and use that to go from there. And as you read the book, if you feel activated by something that I'm sharing, make note of that. Like, what are you feeling? Where do you feel it in your body? And can you remember the last time you felt this? Because if we start to do that enough, and if you, like, make notes in the margin of the book, or if you're taking notes on an app, I don't know how people that read ebooks take notes in books. Like, you don't just scribble on the side. But if you take these notes and you like, take the time and space to reflect and understand what is happening in our brains, bodies, and spirits, then we have this list of, like, okay, well, when she said this, when Sydney keeps talking about death, and for some reason I just keep sobbing uncontrollably, maybe I should look into that. Mm-hmm. So the questions themselves, I don't think I picked them up from anywhere, but I know I'm not the first person to put those words in that order either.
Yes, yes. And I love that you talk about kind of like the bottom-up approach, no, the top-down approach of, like, investigating your triggers. So what triggers me right now in this moment, and then roll it back in time to what that reminds you of so that you can get to the root and pluck it right out. Yeah. So also just talking about remembering, like, I kind of like to think that we came into this earth as these beautiful, pure, crystalline waters, like just gorgeous streams with nothing impeding our flow. And then as we go through life, you know, these little rocks get put into our flow from our caretakers, from our experiences, from society in general. And the work is removing those rocks so that we can get back to that beautiful, authentic self that we are, which is this collective consciousness. And I love that you tap into that at the end of the book. And you're like, I started to realize I was one with all the animals, with all the plants, with everything that I was seeing there. And so I think that's why we all have these shared experiences. We all have this shared investigative kind of analysis of, like, what's going on with us, because we're remembering. We're remembering at our deepest level, and it's just beautiful. So speaking of remembering, unconditional self-love is one of my passions, and I love that so much of the book is about that. So as an advocate for self-love, what advice do you have for individuals struggling to find acceptance and compassion for themselves?
Well, I think I'm going to probably flip a table here and say the phrase that says you can't love anyone until you love yourself is complete and total BS. Because
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, because, like, first of all, like, that's like permission granted to hold yourself back and, like, wait until. Like, we wait until enough. We wait until we're skinny enough to buy the dress. We wait until we're smart enough to get the job. Like, we don't need to wait until we're loved or we love ourselves to love another or whatever combination of how you come into it. Like, I wouldn't be here if I didn't meet my husband who knew himself and loved himself and wasn't like, I love myself. He was just like, I am who I am, and by nature of that, I accept and love myself. And that's how he accepts and loves me. Like, I've never had to put on a mask for this guy. In fact, he's like, why are you wearing mascara? I wear mascara and chapstick when I'm feeling fancy. And he's like, why? Like, you don't need it. Like, what's with the mask? And I'm like, well, if I wear mascara, I look awake. It's great. but I think, like, the advice for people, I would say, like, if you're having a hard time with yourself, then, like, look at the people that love you as reference that you're worth loving and kind of come into it from that angle. And I literally periodically, every couple years, sometimes multiple times a year, if it's a hard year, I'll send a text or an email to, like, my inner circle, people I collaborate with, people that don't really know me but know of me, or people that have been through our programs, and I'll be like, hey, if you're my friend, what is it that you love about me? Like, what makes me that you love about me? And I have an entire PDF document of that reminds me of, like, why I'm awesome. Because I don't remember. My default is to not understand how cool I am. I'm as far as I'm concerned, I'm the weirdo in the library or the weirdo sitting by herself at the cafeteria, right? Like, that image of myself is just ever present. And I think my husband thinks it's cute. It's like, it's so endearing the way you see yourself and the way you see the world. But I'm like, I would love to just have, like, baseline confidence, you know? Like, it's just, it's wild. So for anybody that's, like, really struggling, I would say look outward. Because, like, the internet will tell you, like, if you're seeking validation, then you're broken. We are social creatures. To your point earlier when we were talking about how we're all one, we're all related, that is an indigenous perspective that we are all relatives. The blades of grass, myself, the rock, this water, we're all relatives and we all deserve respect and protection as such. And it just goes to show how far disconnected we are from that way of living and that way of thinking, because when nature is so profound, the place from which we came, when that blows your mind, that's awesome, but also it's like, maybe we got something wrong with the way the society is built and set up, because, like, it shouldn't be shocking that going outside makes us feel better. I don't know. So for anybody that's out there for the 900th time, look outside yourself, get the validation that the internet says you shouldn't, you should, because we're social creatures, but also then ask yourself, like, this is a question that just always blows my mind, where did I learn that I shouldn't love myself, or who benefits from me not loving myself? Because if we can't get to why we don't, what are the expectations that we've internalized that have been placed outside of us that are informing this belief that we shouldn't love ourselves? And female identifying folks, like, it's difficult to arrive at the place where you feel so confident in yourself and so aware of yourself and so comfortable in yourself that you just exude that, because, like, there's this expectation that you will have this, like, outward bravado that like men have. We don't, not necessarily. And there's lots of different ways that it can show up. So chances are you might already also love yourself. You're just not doing it the way the internet says you should. So, like, cut yourself some slack.
Yes. I love it. Preach, sister. This is absolutely the message that I want the listeners to hear and that I want the whole world to hear. I'm so grateful that you are sharing it in this wonderful book called Hiking Your Feelings, Blazing a Trail to Self-Love. You are here on the High Energy Health Podcast. I am speaking to Sydney Williams, an amazingly hilarious and inspiring woman. And we are going to come back and keep talking about all of this juicy stuff. So stay tuned. We're going to have a short commercial break. We will be right back.
Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today.
VMware is a fresh perspective for virtualization on the cloud. Shaping the future, this all-in-one platform delivers virtual cloud service on any cloud. Visit our HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on VMware.
Helping other people heal is deeply satisfying. Watching a child's pain disappear before your eyes, a loved one calming down after a panic attack, or a veteran recovering from PTSD is a wonderful feeling. Imagine yourself with the skills and confidence to help people every single day and a rewarding career in energy healing. Taught by expert faculty, you'll become skilled in techniques validated in over 1,000 scientific studies. So get certified as an energy psychology professional today at www.newhealer.com. Your first course is free at www.newhealer.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Imagine your love life, your health, your money, your career, your spiritual path. If you had the ability to turn your dreams into reality, the people who have discovered how to do this are master manifestors. Now you can learn their secrets at mastermanifestor.com. They'll give you a 21-day crash course in intuition, synchronicity, and manifestation. In just 7 minutes each day, the experts at mastermanifestor.com will train your brain to be like theirs. mastermanifestor.com. Remember, freedom of choice. www.healthylife.net.
Hello, and welcome back to the High Energy Health Podcast. I'm Amanda Wonderland. I'm guest hosting for Dawson Church today, and we are in conversation with Sydney Williams, who wrote the book Hiking Your Feelings, Blazing a Trail to Self-Love, and who also has a beautiful project that you can learn more about at hikingmyfeelings.org, and we will definitely discuss more during today's show. But we were just wrapping up before the break about self-love, one of my very favorite topics, and I'd love to just talk a little bit more about how you kind of talk about becoming your own best friend. So before the break, we were talking about you not knowing how cool you really were, and I know a lot of people can resonate with that, and it's nice to hear other people definitely get the validation of how cool you are and how much other people love you, but also starting to really listen to the way that you talk to yourself. And I love your dressing room adventures and the evolution of how you started to feel about your body through the book. So can you talk a little bit more about self-talk, limiting beliefs, being your own best friend, connecting with your inner child, all of that yummy, juicy stuff?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think, like, to reference the dressing room moment, so for folks that haven't read the book, let's set the scene, right?
Okay.
I am at REI in Encinitas, California, which is already a place that I feel wildly uncomfortable. I don't look like I belong in Encinitas. I was about 80 pounds too heavy to be acceptable in Encinitas. I was also not outdoorsy. And in 2016, when I went to REI for the first time to procure all of the things that one needs to exist in the wilderness for 5 days, I didn't feel outdoorsy either. And at that point, REI hadn't ever included anybody bigger than standard single-digit sizes in their advertising campaigns. In fact, it was the January after my backpacking trip where they started Force of Nature, where they started to include plus sizes in their stores and also representation in their graphic media. So at that point, I was like, I'm too fat to be out here. I'm too fat to be in Encinitas. And, like, that means that I am a bag of gross, and I shouldn't be trying to do these things that will ultimately improve and save my life. Thank gosh I didn't listen to that. So I was in this dressing room. And it's like, if this was a movie, right? So there's like this, Kelly Clarkson's playing in the background, let's be honest. I'm getting super pumped up, but also ready for maybe devastation, but also maybe like the moment that changes my relationship with my body or initiates that change. We'll go with door number two. So I go in and I grab the sizes that I think I should, and this should be relatable for anybody that's ever been shopping and then gotten shopping after a hard patch of life. So I go in, I'm like, oh, I remember what size I was last time I bought clothes out of college. Here we go. And I couldn't even get them over my size. And I was like, row. And then I go out back out and I grab the biggest size on the rack. Because I was like, if I'm not a 10, I'm definitely not a 12 because I couldn't even get these buttoned up. 14, not going to happen. 16 is the biggest size they sold at the time. Pleased to report that the outdoor industry is doing a lot better on creating high-performance technical apparel for people that want to get outside in any shape, size, body, whatever they want to do. So thank you, Outdoor Industry, for listening to those of us that need that support. So anyway, so I grabbed the biggest sizes I've ever worn, and the time was a 16, and that was a sausage squeeze moment, too. I was like, oh, boy, like, I don't want to have to go to, like, Walmart and get a pair of, like, leggings or whatever, because if this place that is specifically for hiking doesn't sell this stuff, how the heck am I supposed to find comparable attire at any other place if the place that carries all the brands doesn't have it? Chances are it probably doesn't exist, and it did not at the time. And then I grabbed this, like, extra large shirt, again, the biggest size I have, and I was like, also a little bit of a tootsie roll in that shirt. Had a Chris Farley moment in the dressing room. But here's the thing. I say all this, and I'm giggling, and we're talking about it, but I'm not insulting myself. You'll notice I'm just telling the facts. And that was the biggest difference. When I reflected on this experience, there was no judgment, just like the part of the story I'm about to tell you. So I go into the dressing room, and I'm like, welp, these clothes don't fit my body, versus, welp, if I didn't eat all the pizza and drink all the wine and do all the things and sit on my butt and binge watch the shows, these pants would fit. There was none of that. And that alone was shocking to me. I was like, it's quiet up here. I said that I have a continuous soundtrack. For the first time ever, it's not the mean girls in the cafeteria talking smack. It's just facts about garments that were created that do not fit my body. And then I'm like, do other people just shop and have this experience where they don't assign a judgment to self based on the number on a tag? Like, what is your life like? Well, I can tell you now because I don't care. It's great. We can free up so much space when we just remove the emotion from it. So, like, the first lesson was just like, oh, if I don't assign judgment to a number on a tag for clothes that I didn't create, then that feels better. Okay. And then I, like, squeezed into the sizes that they did have, and I looked at myself, and I was just like, girl, how did we get here? And that's what my best friend would say to me. Like, if we were in, like, and she has said to me, like, when we're in, like, weird chapters of life, coming in and out of relationships, starting and closing businesses, whatever it is, we're always like, man, how did we get here? And it was just that simple. It wasn't anything more than that. And I was like, Kat would never tell me that I am a worthless piece of whatever because I can't fit into clothes. Like, where, and going back to the questions I was asking about how we feel and where we feel and who benefits from me feeling bad about how I look in these clothes or what my body looks like, where did I learn that this is wrong? Where I am wrong just for existing, like, gross. And then I had to answer those questions, and I was like, uh-oh, not ready to unpack this, but I'm going on the trail so I can do it there. So it's just like, oh, man. So the self-talk thing started in this dressing room where I was just like, it was just facts, not judgment. And I was like, okay, that's cool. And then that got me curious, and I was like, let's go down this rabbit hole. And I was like, okay, so what would be possible if I just honored my inner athlete from this point moving forward? And I approached it from that perspective rather than, like, how would I make decisions as an athlete? When I was in college, did I go out before a two-a-day and drink all the wine and eat four pizzas to myself? No. Did I do that after a hard day at work? Well, not four pizzas, maybe just one. But still, it's a lot. And so to get to the point where I'm just, like, curious and not judging was huge. So the dressing room kind of then that what is possible if I honor my inner athlete, like, with this hike moving forward, if I make decisions based on tailoring my experience to an athlete's experience rather than, like, a hangover experience, how do I make decisions differently? And that ended up setting me up for tremendous success. And in fact, 9 months after that first hike, I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, which at the time I was like, huh, that's weird, because I only knew the stigmas around the disease, right? Like, I only knew the cultural insults that are slung at the diabetic community. So I was like, well, I'm not morbidly obese. I am overweight, and I'm bordering on whatever obese is, whoever's measuring that. I'm not that, but I'm close. I'm not elderly, and I'm not, well, oh, it's the lifestyle choices I've been making. Because there is some kind of genetic predisposition. There is a lifestyle influence, and a lot of those lifestyle choices are out of our control. So it really gave me this framework within to reevaluate and to build upon this new relationship I was building with my body. It started with this curiosity. How did we get here? What would be possible if we honored our inner athlete from here moving forward? And then when I got diagnosed with diabetes, my doctor made it really easy to understand diabetes management. And she said there's a bajillion and one different factors that can influence blood sugar in the human body, but we'll narrow it down to four categories: food, exercise, medicine, stress. So then I had this rubric to grade my life against. And at one chapter of my life, I was a data analyst, so I was collecting data. I was pricking my finger. I was reevaluating my nutritional choices. I was starting to hike every day because now I love hiking. Profound transition into these, just asking these questions and getting curious about the answers. And that's ultimately what led to the change in self-talk, was just not accepting talking to myself the way that I would never speak to anybody that I care about, let alone a perfect stranger. Right. And just following the curiosity as we were able to ask those questions and come up with the answers, and then on the trail, just pay attention to what comes up under that framing and that container.
Yeah, I love that. And I love the question, is this mine? Is this mine? Where did this come from? Where did I learn this? Where's the story that I'm telling myself? And that you encourage us to call BS on that. Even though this story feels so true to me, I am calling BS on that. I say BS stands for belief system. It also stands for the other word, but we can totally decide what we want that to mean for us. So we are about to take a quick break, but we are talking to Sydney Williams today from hikingmyfeelings.org. It's an exciting conversation, so stay tuned. We will be right back.
Dawson Church's award-winning book, Mind to Matter, has been hailed as one of the best science and health books of the decade. Over 400 studies show that your brain has the ability to turn thoughts to things, and that when you use this superpower deliberately, you can create an extraordinary life. Mind to Matter is the science and practice of how our brains create reality, and Dawson is so committed to helping people transform that he's giving copies of the book away free at mindtomatter.com. Claim your free copy at mindtomatter.com now.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
Imagine having a certified wellness professional at your service 24/7. Whenever you're stressed, anxious, angry, sleepless, or depressed, you get help the moment you need it. You can talk to a compassionate practitioner anytime you want at MyStressSolution.com. In the Stress Solution app, trained experts are standing by when you need them most. Experience a free introductory session at MyStressSolution.com. You never have to face your problems alone. Get instant help at MyStressSolution.com.
You have too little time to shop, so try Farm Fresh to You. They deliver organic food the way nature intended, delivered straight to your home or office, economically. Visit our web advertiser page and click on Farm Fresh to You now.
Dawson Church's award-winning book, Mind to Matter, has been hailed as one of the best science and health books of the decade. Over 400 studies show that your brain has the ability to turn thoughts to things, and that when you use this superpower deliberately, you can create an extraordinary life. Mind to Matter is the science and practice of how our brains create reality, and Dawson is so committed to helping people transform that he's giving copies of the book away free at mindtomatter.com. Claim your free copy at mindtomatter.com now.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Welcome back to the High Energy Health Podcast. I'm Amanda Wonderland, guest hosting for Dr. Dawson Church, and I am with the hilarious Sydney Williams, who wrote Hiking Your Feelings, Blazing a Trail to Self-Love, and who is the founder of Hiking My Feelings, a nonprofit organization dedicated to the healing power of nature. Sydney and I have so much in common, and we have already talked about unconditional self-love, one of my biggest passions, and another big passion of mine is trauma. And I love that she says we must start to talk about it. We must bring it out into the open. So, Sydney, what challenges and traumas have you faced in your journey of self-discovery and healing, and how have they shaped who you have become today?
Ooh, hello. For a second. Such a good question. Well, I think, like, just for anybody listening, everything that's about to come out of my mouth, a blanket reminder, trauma is not a competition. We all have it. The worst day of my life, and I'm about to describe several of them, and the worst day of your life will be very different, but also we have at least one thing in common, and that's we've survived all of the hard days, and we're still here to talk about it. So
yes.
Before I jump right in, I think the biggest hurdle that I faced, let's just get right to it, in the context, I loved your metaphor and in your work, how you talk about how we're born into these beautiful, crystal clear waters and the flow is ever present, and then these rocks come, and that's life. I use the metaphor of having an invisible backpack. I believe that we all come into this world without the backpack, and then somebody issues one on your first bad day, and they're like, here, this is where you keep all the hard shit. So it's like, hey, there you go. So we all have these backpacks, and there are all kinds of things in them. And we have the heavy stuff that's at the very, very bottom. And for me, I had to get from the top and unpack the stuff that was still hard but not the heaviest. And so the process in using the metaphor of unpacking this backpack in the book, and it turns out the backpack is bottomless. Also, spoiler alert, they don't just go away and you don't just empty it forever. You just keep digging. It's a continuous loop of discovery. But at the top of my backpack in this time frame on these journeys on Catalina Island, the first trip was a lot of body image. It was a lot of the things that I had been told about my body as it pertains to my athletic pursuits. So when I was younger, just in general, a woman living in a body, my mom was like, hey, you better watch what you eat, or else you're going to end up fat like me. And the way she said it, I was like, oh, my God, what does that mean? Like, I'll end up being the cool cheer mom? I'll be like the lady that gives the shirt off somebody? Like, I would give you my shirt if you needed one? Like, why is that bad, and what does it have to do with the food I eat? Like, I was so young, I didn't get it. But the media reinforced this belief that bigger bodies were bad. The comments my family and friends made about people that we were driving by or around that were living in bigger bodies was not kind. And so it was really reinforced on that. And so it was like, okay, body image out, reframe it, here we go. And then it was like, oh, all my dead friends. So in the 4 years that I was a competitive skydiver, 23 of my friends passed away. 3 were veterans who took their own life. 1 was a tragic motorcycle accident. And the remaining deaths were all base jumping or skydiving incidents. Not equipment failure, not, you know, just people jumping and nothing happening, but, like, people that we were in community with some of the most iconic athletes in the sport, and they're pushing the boundaries of human flight. They're pushing the boundaries of the equipment that they have. And in some cases, people were a little bit too big for their britches, and they were on equipment that they weren't ready for. And so the next thing in my backpack was, like, all of these people that had passed away. One grief cycle is hard enough, let alone 23 in 4 years. Like, I'm still undoing that. It's been 10 years since the end of that window where I stopped counting. Like, I've lost more people since then, but in that 4-year time frame, 23. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm going to unpack all of the heavy stuff, but I don't, like, just leave their memory out here on the trail. Like, I'm not going to... That's not leaving no trace. I'm not just going to, like, discard my friends, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm going to unpack the heavy stuff, process that, and then I'm going to come back and remember, okay, what do I want to have in this backpack instead? Because the backpack's not going anywhere. I can choose what goes and what stays in the backpack as I discover it. So I'm like, okay, grief, heaviness out. I'm going to give myself the time and space to really, truly process and move through this. But in its place is my favorite memories of these people. Who were they? What are the stories I want to share to keep their spirits alive, to keep their memories going? And that felt like lighter. So as I'm doing this unpacking, like, the weight is lifting off my shoulders literally because I'm getting stronger on the trail with my trail legs, but also, like, the emotional weight. At every time that I go through, like, this big unpacking on the trail, the emotional weight, I'm just getting electric. Like, I'm feeling lighter and lighter and lighter. And then as we progress down the trail, like, there's all this negative soundtrack, every limiting belief, every lie that I've ever internalized as truth coming up to the surface, and I'm going through my process of understanding and reframing, feels much lighter. And then I get to this point on the trail, it's one of the higher points on the trail, and I'm just like, oh my God, universe, unicorns, any other deity or goddess or whoever I should be calling to, I don't know what's going on here, but I feel amazing, and when was the last time I felt this good? And then I started to walk down, and I had this, like, I used to call it a universal 2x4, but I don't think the universe is that violent. So, like, the universe, like, gave me a little kiss on the cheek and was like, hey, here's an opportunity to remember something. And it was like the last time I felt this good, this confident in my body, this capable in my life was right before I was assaulted in college. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't scary and it wasn't sad. I felt free. And it was like, that was the big weight on that trip. I was like, oh my God, I got to the bottom of the backpack. There is nothing left. Like, this is it. It's the assault. There's nothing more. There will never be anything else. But in the unpacking of this and finding language for it, because I didn't grow up in a family that talked about stuff in this way. I didn't grow up in a culture. None of us really grew up in a culture where we're allowed to talk about grief or loss. Like, I don't come from a family or from an ancestral tradition of how to mourn or how to grieve in the way that other cultures do. Mm-hmm. So in the absence of anything prescribed, I was kind of left to my own devices. And so here I am on this trail, chucking things out of this backpack, like just all the trauma I've ever endured ever. And I get done and I was like, okay, well, I'm going to, I sent a message to the Catalina Island Conservancy, not to my friends, not to my family, not to anybody that cared if I survived this trip. I sent a message on Instagram to the Conservancy and I was like, hey, I've had two life-changing experiences on this trail. How do I protect and promote this place? And it was in the answering of that question that I was able to formalize this story that then turned into the book. But in my pursuit of sharing the story and creating language for people to understand what has happened to them, my family wanted nothing to do with it. They were telling me I fabricated my childhood, that I am misremembering the things that happened, that all these things, like just really horrible things. And I was like, and this is all happening on like a group chat also. So I was like, hey guys, how about we get on the phone? And they were like, can't make time. It's Monday. I'd rather do anything else other than talk about the hard stuff that you're asking me to talk about. And I was like, this is so weird. Like, we were a tight Midwestern household. We told everybody everything. My dad was my best friend. Like, we had that borderline, I don't want to say inappropriate and like inappropriate the way we think of inappropriate, but like, should parents and children be best friends? I don't know. Is that appropriate? Yeah. I have no idea. But we had that kind of closeness. And for them to not want to be part of this, I was like, oh my God, this is so weird. And then I was talking to my mom about some stuff. I was talking to other family members about some stuff. I was talking to friends who had also had similar situations. And then I came across this term, which is generational trauma. Oh my God. This, I'm carrying so much more in this backpack than I ever gave myself credit for or that I ever had an awareness of. And now the people that are, the three people that are most deeply connected to me, my story, and the story of our ancestors want nothing to do with this. So my resource to understand is gone.
Right.
So I guess it's, I'm just the black sheep. I'm going to break this cycle and it's all on me. And I'm proud to do that because I have to do that. And the only way that my mental and physical health is what it is right now is because I have done that.
Absolutely. This ends with us. It goes no more past this. Mm-hmm. And I love that. If we can all experience trauma, we can also all heal from trauma. And it's our job in this generation to fix what wasn't fixed previously. And I love that. So empowering, so inspiring. Okay, we are going to have one more break, and then we're going to come back and finish up our conversation with Sydney Williams, who is the founder of Hiking My Feelings. You can learn more at hikingmyfeelings.org and buy the book, Hiking Your Feelings, Blazing a Trail to Self-Love. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Imagine having a certified wellness professional at your service 24/7. Whenever you're stressed, anxious, angry, sleepless, or depressed, you get help the moment you need it. You can talk to a compassionate practitioner anytime you want at MyStressSolution.com. In the Stress Solution app, trained experts are standing by when you need them most. Experience a free introductory session at MyStressSolution.com. You never have to face your problems alone. Get instant help at MyStressSolution.com.
VMware is a fresh perspective for virtualization on the cloud. Shaping the future, this all-in-one platform delivers virtual cloud service on any cloud. Visit our HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on VMware.
Dawson Church's award-winning book, Mind to Matter, has been hailed as one of the best science and health books of the decade. Over 400 studies show that your brain has the ability to turn thoughts to things, and that when you use this superpower deliberately, you can create an extraordinary life. Mind to Matter is the science and practice of how our brains create reality, and Dawson is so committed to helping people transform that he's giving copies of the book away free at mindtomatter.com. Claim your free copy at mindtomatter.com now.
No matter what is happening on the outside, to make a difference, work on the inside. You are part of the fabric of life. Have a positive impact on yourself and others. Take a break from the dark side. Listen to the positive side of podcasts. HRNradio.com.
Helping other people heal is deeply satisfying. Watching a child's pain disappear before your eyes, a loved one calming down after a panic attack, or a veteran recovering from PTSD is a wonderful feeling. Imagine yourself with the skills and confidence to help people every single day and a rewarding career in energy healing. Taught by expert faculty, you'll become skilled in techniques validated in over 1,000 scientific studies. So get certified as an energy psychology professional today at www.newhealer.com. Your first course is free at www.newhealer.com.
If you want USA and worldwide car rentals, choose rentacar.com. Free cancellations on most bookings, no hidden charges. They are trusted by over 4 million customers. Visit our advertiser page and click on the Rent-A-Car banner.
Welcome back to the High Energy Health Podcast. This is Amanda Wonderland, and I'm in conversation with the amazing, beautiful, inspiring, hilarious, wonderful Sydney Williams, who is the founder of Hiking My Feelings, and that is what I would like to talk about for this final segment. So, can you please tell me about your inspiration behind starting Hiking My Feelings and how it has evolved since its inception?
Yeah, so I mean, we'll pick back up at the message to the Catalina Conservancy. They were like, yes. Hey, here's REI. And I was like, I've heard of them. As somebody who's like aspiring to like make her mark in the outdoor world, is like, REI, I know the girl. So I get on the phone with a gal named Rachel, who was in charge of the Southern California REI stores, and she was like, hey, tell me your story. So I tell her the story that's about to be the book, all the trauma, all the scary words that nobody likes to say out loud. She's like, great, I'd love to send you on a speaking tour around our stores. And I was like, sweet. I got off the trail 11 days ago, but okay. And so then I just, like, you know, put on my smart girl hat, and I was like, okay, yeah, so here's what I need for audiovisual. Here's what I'm envisioning. Can I do a talk on a Friday night and then lead a local hike on Saturday? They're like, well, one, we can't pay you. And I was like, that makes sense. You make billions of dollars. Makes sense that you can't pay your speakers that are bringing people in to then buy your adventures that make you money. Got it. Capitalism is great. So I was just like, yeah, that sounds cool. I'd love it. And they're like, cool. So we can't pay you, but here's how this works. And so we kind of just like, we started with three stores in Southern California in like October 2018. By the end of October, my husband and I had sold everything we owned and bought a 1998 Chevy van. Yes. This is my backdrop. Because I was like, after the first talk, I was like, I want to do this for the rest of my life. Also delusional confidence. I don't want to do anything for the rest of my life, one thing. No. So it has evolved since then. So it started as like this idea. So Hiking My Feelings itself as a phrase started on top of a mountain outside of San Diego. I had just quit the two jobs. I was in between the two hikes. So it was like early 2018. I was on top of a mountain. I had just quit two jobs in the span of 5 months. I was newly diagnosed diabetic, and I was like, oh my God, I'm hiking my feelings. I took that concept, that container, across the island for the second hike. And then afterwards, I was like, all right, let's build this sucker. Let's go. I have a career in communications. I'm going to use everything I've ever learned ever about brand building, how to do it. Like, I had the skill set that is the most expensive to hire and the hardest to understand and attain, which is marketing and communication. In a business setting, like, most people come into something and they're like, I want to start a restaurant. I'm a cook. They don't know how to market. But I'm like, I want to start talking about my feelings and go hiking. And I was like, cool, I'm going to build a life around that because it's good for my health. And also, I know that I'm a workaholic. And I have understood the impetus behind that. I understand the root of it. And I understand how I've used it unhealthily in the past. But similar to how did we get here, I was like, what if I used my skills for good? Yeah. What if I actually cared about the stuff that I'm talking about? So then we did this in 2018 and 2019. I spoke at more than 60 REI stores around the country, business groups, universities. I spoke for the University of Kansas Women's Rowing Team, which was awesome because I was like, I would have loved to have this language when I was this age.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing. And so, like, we just started it. Like, I always thought that I would, like, write a book and then go on a speaking tour, but I went on a speaking tour, and then I wrote my first book that I self-published at the end of 2019. And then, so we at the end of 2019, I was like, we can't. Like, this is bigger than my story. This is bigger than this tour. Like, how do we build an organization around this? My first question when I got off the call with REI, in my mind was like, can I, or when I got off the phone with the Catalina Conservancy after that first meeting, I was like, is it possible to recreate what just happened for me? A super curious, judgment-free space with adequate emotional support, above and beyond adequate emotional support for my husband, in a beautiful place with no technology. And in turn, will that also want to give people a reason to protect and promote someplace? Because that's the first question I asked. It's like, this changed my life. How can I protect and promote it? And I was like, can I replicate that? And we can. So the work has evolved from our first year, we did 140 events around the U.S. just speaking and hiking.
Wow.
And I'd tell the story that's now the book. And if you're going to come and take time out of your life, if you're going to arrange for child care, pet care, plant care, spouse care, to come listen to me talk, I want you to experience what I'm saying. I don't just want you to take my word for it. Because at the time, I didn't have a book. So I couldn't hand you a resource. But I believe in this so much, I want you to come with me. So I'm just going to show you how I hike, which involves a lot of crying, and feelings. And it, in fact, like, I did like 40 hikes across the United States before I was in Glacier National Park, and I turned around to my husband on this trail. I was like, do you mean to tell me people hike for fun? Because every hike that I've done up until this point, I've been sobbing or vomiting or snotting all over myself. And I'm just skipping on this trail. That's me. So I wanted to find the joy, right? Because, like, we don't need to be, like, sad sacks in the wilderness. It's not a great place to be, like, traumatically sad. But it is a good place to emote. So I was like, okay, how can we start to build this organization and create these opportunities? One, for people to learn something about themselves. Two, to find a community and a space where we're allowed to talk about these things and encouraged to talk about these things. And how can we give back to nature? Because it's not enough for me to just have a relationship with nature and to accept all the gifts that it gives me. Somebody once asked me, like, you say you have a relationship with nature, when's the last time you gave back? I have the privilege of saying I give back all the time. I volunteer actively. I work in Sequoia National Park in the summer. I work with the Desert Institute at Joshua Tree National Park in the fall. Like, I give back all the time. But it was a really profound question. And, like, can we give people opportunities to do something with their hands and their brains and their bodies? Because, like, right now the world feels like it sucks. And if you look anywhere online, you will find evidence that it does. And also, there is this whole other reality where we can coexist with the hard and the easy. Yeah. So how can we create time and space for people to do something with this angsty energy that we have? Right. And also to give an opportunity for people in my generation and or people in, like, my tax bracket, I guess, which is the lowest one. like, how can we give people who want to give back but don't have the means to, like, write checks and get their names on buildings?
Yeah.
How can we start to usher in, like, something to do about what we're sitting with? Because the world feels like it's melting down around us. The fires keep getting worse. The ocean is toxic. There's plastic islands all over this globe. It's just bananas. And so we came up with a format that we call Wilderness Wellness. And now our work, which has evolved from, like, hi, my name is Sydney, and I went through some hard stuff. I'm going to unpack my backpack and hope you don't want to die by the end of it. To now, we're like, let's recreate this experience. So now our work, we're exploring these intersections of environmental stewardship, mindful movement, and self-discovery in a community setting. Because as much as self-care is deeply unique and personal to us, and at the end of the day, much like I learned this through my diabetes management discovery process, which was like, the doctor can prescribe me medicine. I got to put it in my mouth at the same time every day. I can be told what is a diabetes-friendly nutrition plan. I have to prepare and eat that food. I can be told what the guideline is for moving my body. I have to do the one that's moving the body.
Yep.
And self-care is the same way. Self-love is the same way. Healing is the same way. We have to do this for ourselves. To your point, it ends with us. And also, we are not alone.
Yeah.
We are not the only people experiencing this. We are not the only people that are struggling with the very hard realities of being human, because what we are being sold everywhere we turn is wealth and abundance with, like, no nuance and no acknowledgement of how trauma blocks us from accessing those things.
Yep.
So now we have a place where you can connect the dots between inner and outer wilderness. And my work in Sequoia National Park is the work I'm doing where we have this opportunity to go and do these amazing environmental stewardship projects and mirror the human experience. So we remove invasive species from a meadow, and we talk about invasive thoughts, and we connect those dots between people and place. And it's by far the most transformative, beautiful work I've ever done.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so inspired. I have goosebumps all over my body. This is not the last that you will hear from me. I will be there in Sequoia National Forest, one of the most beautiful places in the world, to help make a contribution in this way. You guys, if you're not as inspired as me, wake up, because holy cow, this woman is dripping with inspiration. You can find out more at hikingmyfeelings.org. You can also find her on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, all Hiking My Feelings. Get involved. Get actively engaged in being inspired. Deal with your trauma. Be unconditionally loving to yourself. And it ends with us. It is time for us to start making a difference in the world and taking our power back. Thank you so much for joining us on the High Energy Health Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me, Sydney. It was such a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. This is Amanda Wonderland, and we will see you next time. Have a good night.
Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today.
This is Jack Maher from the band Feed the Kitty. It's important to support the artists you love, and you can do that and get something authentic for yourself. Rock.com has the most coveted, licensed merchandise of music, culture, and entertainment. So go to the advertiser page and click on Rock.com now.